do one more song. Is that okay? Okay. This is just one more quick song I want to do real quick. And it's dedicated to all the people that are over here, because you guys have been real supportive and cool.
MoreLikeRadio.com. It's our duty to entertain you. I said duty.
Did you know you can listen to any of the More Like Radio shows on the go? Download TuneIn Radio on your smartphone and search More Like Radio and never miss a show.
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up and witness the wonder of the Hippo Juice Show.
Isn't racism fun?
No, fuck you, bro!
Everybody's in my asshole right
no,
now.
No, it tastes like man balls.
And like,
It says men shouldn't fondle other men's bunghole.
Hippo juice, nigga!
Welcome to the Hippo Juice Show. Number to call in is 954-573-2780. Today is May 25th, 7:07 p.m. in super, super hot Orlando, Florida. You could always get in contact with us, like I said, with our phone number, 954-573-2780, or hashtag Hippo Juice. On the interwebs, joined today, Marie just made it right now, walk through the door, Lopez.
I'm here, guys, I'm here.
John, the Laser Santeri.
Pew, 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 pew.
And Joel, let's try and wait.
Shorty and down, good lord, baby got him open all over town.
I love this song.
Who doesn't?
Each and every day, true play away. I can't get her out of my mind.
Wow.
I think about the girl all the time.
All right. So
it was until like years later that I figured out what they were singing about.
Sex?
Well, about a hooker. He's like, what? I like that hooker. I got to bag it up. Talking about bagging it up, like wearing a condom.
The best part of that Blackstreet video was Penny Hardaway playing the piano.
Yes.
Mm. Puppet Penny. Remember how huge that was for a while? Puppet Penny Hardaway?
Oh, yeah.
Like, was that like was the huge
viral
thing.
Before viral.
Yeah.
That and Spike Lee talking about the fucking Indiana Pacers all the time.
I just hated him because he's a Knicks fan.
Yeah. So, by the way, anyone listening to us on the Facebook thing, just click right above the head, morelikeradio.com/live. You can see everybody else's face in the chat. I mean, not that looking at mine's a bad thing, but by the way, can I say it's cool that I have a poster behind me, but I didn't realize how gay the fucking it's Wizard of Oz one.
Like, it was a free poster.
It was
that
free,
I
know, but it's just.
I might as well put up a free poster when we don't have anything else.
I know.
You just put up more free posters, or every Wednesday you put up a new free poster.
Yeah, but where am I going to get so many free posters, John?
The free poster store? Duh,
that
Jesus.
Doesn't exist. It's a terrible business model.
Maria, this is first grade. Come on.
Yeah, this is day one. Come on, Marie.
Sorry.
My
bad.
Apparently, the YouTube
the YouTube is not working?
Yeah, I'm trying
Jebediah YouTube.
Trying to fix it.
Oh, no.
I think I got it, though. Yeah, you know, it's just like there's so many things running here at the same time.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Just fuck them all.
Yeah. Any whoozles.
Any whoozles.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I'm in a super mood. I got free champagne.
Yeah.
Oh, champagne?
Mm-hmm.
Where were you?
What were you doing?
I was helping out a video shoot at one of our restaurants for an event. And they're like, here's some free alcohol and some free appetizers and sit here and mingle with people and pretend like you're enjoying yourself. And so they sat me at a table with a couple of women who were friends of the manager of the restaurant. So I wasn't sitting at a table where I knew anyone because there were other people I knew there. But they kind of just dispersed us all and told us to mingle. And I got to tell you, I had a great time mingling with my table. I enjoyed my table very much. They one of the women, well, both of them, but one of them obviously seemed to have worked there a lot longer, worked at a plastic surgeon's office in Orlando, and the other one must have been an assistant or something, because one looked like she had some work done and the other one looked like she was pretty fresh.
She was assistant to the plastic surgeon.
Yeah, but they were lovely ladies, both blonde, both enjoying the atmosphere and just happy to be there. And yeah, I had a great time.
Well, that's good.
So, but yeah, I thought it was going to be way later. They were telling me like I might need to have been there until like 8 o'clock, and they wrapped up early, so I'm here.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess let's. We could.
Did you fix YouTube yet?
Yeah, I got it. We got it working.
Sweet.
So I guess we can move on to one of our first stories. Let's see here. Which one do we want? Okay, I want to do this one. This is from a year ago, but we never played it on the show, and it's pretty relevant now.
Ooh.
It's a Jimmy Kimmel video. Okay. It's him walking up to... Well, let him explain it.
Trump came out with his proposal for a new tax plan yesterday, just like a real presidential candidate would do. It was kind of adorable. Trump has some interesting ideas. He says he plans to raise taxes on the very rich, which doesn't include him because he's very, very rich. He's in the very rich. And also under President Trump, you won't have to pay any income taxes if you make less than $25,000 a year. You won't pay any taxes if you and your spouse make under $50,000 a year. And if you capture an illegal Mexican, you won't pay any taxes at all, no matter how much you make. So, you know, he's here legal. Every politician comes out with his or her own plans and proposals, but I wonder if voters pay attention to the specifics of those plans. It seems to me most people pick a candidate and go along with whatever that candidate says. So today, armed with the new Trump tax plan, we went out in the street and found people who claimed to support Hillary Clinton for president and asked those people about her tax plan. But what they didn't know is the tax plan we presented them with is not Hillary Clinton's, it's Donald Trump's. And let's find out how they liked it.
Are you a Hillary Clinton supporter?
Yes, I am.
I like Hillary Clinton. Yeah, I support her.
Maybe you should pronounce her name before you start liking her. I think he called her Hillary Cricket.
I'm a Hillary Clinton.
Which, by the way,
that's a better name.
How is somebody not Photoshop Hillary Clinton as Jiminy Cricket? Because it's so easy to do. Somebody do Hillary Cricket for me. Thank you.
Porter. Well, for one, it's definitely time that we have a woman in the White House.
Well, I think a female president would be a great idea.
What does that mean?
Oh, my
God. I'm a woman. I don't think there's time for anything. Just be a good president.
Yeah, seriously. It's not a fucking popularity contest.
Also popularity.
That's exactly what it is.
If you want to pronounce it correctly.
I'm a Hillary Clinton supporter.
I sure am.
What about Donald Trump?
Next.
No, you don't support Donald
Next.
Trump at all?
I do not.
Would you be able to support anything about Donald Trump?
In short, no.
Donald Trump,
Oh, this is the Hillary Clinton guy. He's a black guy, by the way. He's not Asian, because that would make more sense.
Could have fooled
me.
No,
not so much.
I feel cold towards Donald Trump.
You wouldn't support Donald Trump?
No.
Okay, and would you support Hillary Clinton's plan to cut the corporate tax rate from 35% to 15%?
I think that's a good idea.
Do you support Hillary's plan to eliminate the estate tax?
Yes, I do support that.
Do you support her plan to eliminate taxes for those who make less than $25,000 a year?
I would support that, yes.
Do you support her plan to eliminate the alternative minimum tax?
alternative minimum tax. Yeah.
By the way,
why has he got to repeat everything he says?
Because that every see that that's this is a little trick. Anytime somebody said repeats back a question, that means they don't know the answer.
No.
They're buying time to think of one. You know.
Mm-hmm. I support that.
Do you support her plan to eliminate the estate tax?
Yes.
And what would you say if I told you those are all Donald Trump's proposals?
I would say he's
you're about to catch
man.
Some fists.
He's a pretty smart man because they have to back up because like now you have a Sophie's choice of either I look like an idiot or I have to go. No, Trump's not bad. Then look, I don't fucking like Trump. I've been clear about that. But it's just nobody fucking really knows or cares.
Right.
It's just this stupidity. And oh, these guys are just fucking West Hollywood douchebags, too.
Feel stupid.
All right. Well,
he called himself out.
That's good.
At least he was honest.
You look it.
I would say that that's shocking. But I mean, if it is, I'm still not voting for Donald Trump. He's
Why is that shocking?
What would you say if I told you those are all Donald Trump's policies?
I wouldn't believe you.
Pause. Why is it shocking that a Republican is suggesting to cut taxes and a Democrat isn't?
No, but the thing is, yeah, exactly. It makes sense. That's what most Republicans historically
run
on.
All Republicans talk about is cutting taxes, and all Democrats want is more taxes.
So
how is that surprising? Does she know what a Democrat is? Does she know what she is?
I think
she wants to speak to your manager.
That's the problem.
Okay.
Well, I support Donald Trump then.
There you go.
What a quick turnaround.
That's my guy.
What a turncoat.
All right, yeah.
Those are all Donald Trump's policies.
Oh, God.
She looks like the old lady from The Matrix, you know, like the one that tells Neo to eat the cookie.
She has a great laugh, though.
I hate him.
I like her.
All right, so... yeah, I thought that was funny.
At least she laughed it off. Mm-hmm. I like the last two guys. Own up to your mistakes, dude. Don't just be like, well,
seriously.
That's shocking.
No, it's not. It's not. It's just everyone just... First listen,
of all,
I could respect this process more if everyone were to admit it was just like a football team, you know? Like, if you're like, I just fucking love my team no matter what they do, fine. I could deal with that. But when they go... But that's like if someone trying to preach you, my team is the holiest team. No, fuck you, bro.
And also, wouldn't one of their first clues be...
Yeah.
This person is asking me questions on a television program. There might be a catch.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
No? Anyone?
Maybe they were assuming that it was a political...
New Yorkers have done so many man-on-the-street interviews.
Well, that was Los Angeles.
Oh, whatever. Los Angeles is the same, too, though.
That's true.
They have just as many Tonight shows as New York does.
This was almost as good as them asking people what gluten is.
By the way,
they probably didn't say they were on Jimmy Kimmel. They probably said, where were they, ABC?
How bad was jaywalking? Remember that Jay Leno bit that he used to do?
Yeah, I remember.
God, you know, looking back, Jay Leno was really just a fucking hack, huh?
It was a product of the 90s. Everything in the 90s
was
hacky.
Yeah, no, I guess you're right. In the 90s, he survived, but looking back, he was just...
There was nothing to compare
was
it to.
Was his stand-up any good?
He was a good stand-up. He was a good stand-up, but it was different than when he did.
When you're surrounded by pigs, all you have to do is be the best pig. It was the 90s.
Right. I mean, I like
the
that.
The bar was
I don't
low.
Know, I don't know why they have to be pigs.
They can be puppies if you want.
Okay, when you're surrounded by puppies.
It's a pretty sweet gig.
That's not bad.
I would like that job.
Marie, do you want to get to, you want to read a story?
Okay, I'm going to click on the first link here blindly because I did not prepare because I came in late. And it says, the Warcraft movie is not good.
Okay, Dutch. Now, I want to bring something up. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Dutch is excited for the Warcraft movie.
I've been a huge fan of the game ever since the original MS-DOS game came out.
So we showed Dutch the Warcraft trailer. And
I was like, no, that's good.
It looked bad. The CGI looked bad. Well, apparently, Kotaku, I don't think I'm pronouncing it right, the video game site.
Kotaku?
Kotaku.
Okay. I don't know.
I've never heard of this site before in my life. So.
Terry Heiser in Facebook says Leno was a great stand-up at one time. Yeah, Leno's stand-up wasn't bad, but he just became a robot.
I heard that he hasn't ever really changed his material because he's never really recorded a special, so he still goes on the road and does the same jokes he's been doing.
And he has a lot of cars, so I mean, there's that.
Yeah. All right, so this article written by some dude named Jason Schrickler, so whatever his opinion is on it. So, some people had hoped after months of hype and the pedigree of director Duncan Jones, also the owner of Duncan Hines, Moon, source code. I don't know what those other two things
think,
are.
I don't think that's true.
No?
Was he trying to be witty?
Not, Duncan Heights thing. No, that was my joke. Yeah. I inserted that.
Go ahead.
Okay.
The Warcraft might break the long and storied curse of bad video game movies. I have some sad news for those people. Maybe video game adaptations were just never meant to
they
be.
They are not good. We've talked about this. I think the only one we ever all agreed on was the first couple Resident Evils were good. Besides that, I think we came to the conclusion that video game adaptations are terrible.
Warcraft, which comes out June 10th, is a whirlwind of CGI effects and snazzy costumes that never quite...
Snazzy?
Yeah, snazzy.
The fuck's a snazzy?
Snazzy costume, like snippy, snappy.
No, I know what it means.
Like wuzzle, wuzzle, and zip,
dapper.
Dapper.
And hey-ya.
And dandy?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, snazzy. That never quite coalesces into a watchable film. Longtime fans of the series might get a kick out of seeing the likes of Midva? Midvith?
Ben Foster.
How do you say that? Joe?
I don't know.
Joel?
Oh.
Medivh?
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 Yeah.
And Durotan. Did I say that right?
Durotan.
Durotan?
Durotan.
Uritan. Played by Hollywood actors, but it's tough to get invested in a movie that feels so soulless. Warcraft has very few redeeming qualities. The performances are mediocre, the writing is full of cliches, and the editing is confusing when it's trying to be clever. It says in parentheses, both orcs and humans speak real-life English, but the movie attempts to persuade us, by means of a clumsy transition halfway through the film, that the orcs are actually speaking their own language. It's not very good. That would be confusing. I can see that. The fundamental flaw in Warcraft is the same flaw we find in most video game movies. It takes itself too seriously.
That, yep, there you go. And by the way, if we've learned nothing from Deadpool, you don't have to take yourself seriously to make a good movie.
Correct. These games are set in a world full of in-jokes and surreal humor, one that's inhabited by a race of giant panda bears because the developers at Blizzard really liked one of their own April Fool's jokes.
Terry Heiser says, whoever used a snazzy in a review deserves to be sold into slavery. I could get on board with that.
I don't know if I support slavery, but I do support punishment.
You do support savory things, though.
Yes. I prefer them over sweet things.
Like savory meatballs.
Or pizza.
Savory pizza.
Not sweet pizza.
You can't say savory ice
cream. I don't
want
dessert pizza.
You want savory ice cream?
No.
It's weird, right? Does
no,
it sound like it goes together?
I don't want that.
I'm sorry. So, Dutch, here's the bottom line. The movie's fucking terrible.
Oh, man.
So I'm
sorry. It's one of those things, like, you really don't want it to suck, and then it does.
Flores, how do you know it's terrible?
Because, first off...
Everybody's saying it is.
Yeah, everyone that's seen it so far says it's terrible, but just reading the reviews and looking at the trailer, the CGI looked terrible. Yeah. Fucking terrible.
Joel, what were you...
I just got excited when I saw, like, oh my God, they're making a Warcraft movie. I was just super stoked about it.
I was going to say, like, what are you actually excited to see in the movie? Like, what would you hope for?
Leroy Jenkins.
I'm just a big fan of anything Blizzard. So I've played like all their games except for World of Warcraft because you have to actually pay to play
and
that one.
And he only eats his desserts at Dairy Queen. That's how much of a Blizzard fan he is.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's all he eats. It's really
I don't know. It's just, yeah. It's kind of like people who are like Star Wars geeks, like were really let down when the newest movies came out back in whenever.
Oh, yeah. The prequels, you mean?
Yeah. It's like one of those things like you just have such high hope for. You're like, God, I hope this doesn't suck. And then it does. And you're like, no.
But then this is coming out in June, so then when is Suicide Squad coming out?
It doesn't matter. I don't think... Suicide Squad, even if it's bad, it's going to rip this movie apart in terms of sales, I think. For sure.
Do you think that somebody is going to try to redo these games and make them better again, like after seeing Deadpool?
Possibly.
The game movies, I guess, but the thing is like, I don't know how, like... Don't get me wrong. It really blows my mind that some games haven't turned into good movies. Like Halo's a perfect example, right?
Yeah.
How you have everything in that to make a good movie, you get a good director, but they can't do it. You know, nobody could do it, and I don't know why that is.
I mean, it's we have to study and break down Deadpool. It's what we got to do.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Break it down, make it formulaic, mm-hmm. then wipe out all the old ones and start over again. Because eventually we're going to get done with all the comic movies and the comic TV shows. They're going to be done. We're going to need to fall back on something, and then we'll get a resurgence of video game movies where we'll actually make them good.
Well, what stinks is that whenever they make these Hollywood video game movies, it almost seems like none of the directors and none of the people that are funding the movies read the source material. So they go off on their own thing.
They just know it's a popular entity. Brothers. So let's make a, yeah.
Or perhaps it's the other way around where you have too many nerds in the pot that are trying to bog down the storyline with stupid Easter eggs and details, and they can't write a compelling storyline or plot.
Because like that's what happened with Doom. Doom is such a like the plot for Doom is so easy, and then like they just went completely ass backwards with the Doom movie.
I don't even.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. So.
I didn't see it. That was The Rock was in that, right?
Yeah, and you think, oh my God, The Rock's gonna play the fucking Space Marine, and he ends up. Spoiler alert! He ends up playing the villain.
All right. Well, let's move on to another story here, and it's this. We know I don't like baseball, but it's a baseball story. But it
Boo.
Really doesn't has more to do with something else.
Okay.
Anulo, the Florida Marlins.
What?
The Florida Marlins.
Everyone from Florida is stupid. Everyone
Please,
from Florida
have a whoop
is dumb.
The father.
I might not be the brightest.
Stop!
It's Obama.
They hit me in his mouth.
Hey, that's
I punched through that man.
Yeah, and I'm
more
good at
And new low, the Marlins suing ex-season ticket holders and stadium vendors.
What?
Yes. The Miami Marlins have found yet another new way to make themselves look like a laughingstock of the Major League Baseball. According to a report from Miami New Times, the club is suing a number of ex-season ticket holders and stadium vendors who say they either grew tired of the club's unkept promises or were driven out of business when the Marlins didn't meet their projected attendance figures. It's not something you see often in sports, particularly not in the case of the pro sports team suing its fans. Are you playing the Marlins song?
I'm not playing the Marlins song.
God.
I wanted to make sure you remembered it.
That's the Dolphins. That's the Dolphins. That's the Marlins.
Wait, what was the Marlins song?
They don't. It's a different one.
They don't have. Everybody's doing the fish.
Stop it.
Yeah, yeah,
stop it.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop it. Don't.
Everybody's doing the
don't.
Fish. What?
It's not something you see often in sports, particularly not in the case of pro sports, a team suing its fans. But this is the Marlins we're talking about, so nothing should be surprising. Remember, the Marlins are a team that promised Miami taxpayers a winner.
Is it this song?
There it is.
Oh, this is pretty fun. Why don't you like this song? It's so tropical. It's catchy. You don't like it? It's not good? Royce? John?
This song makes me glad I never made it to the majors when I only made it to the minors.
Turn it down.
I keep forgetting that you were a minor league ball player at one point.
Remember, the Marlins were a team that promised Miami.
Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love this town.
Everybody's doing the fish.
Anyways.
Is that real big fish?
Of course it is. Real big fish rules.
Remember, the Marlins are the team that promised Miami taxpayers a winner so they would pay for the team's fancy new stadium, only to dismantle the team midway through the first season in the new stadium to cut costs.
There have been I don't get how these guys are able to get away with making towns pay for their stadium.
I agree. I agree 100%.
How does
and
that
Miami,
happen?
And Florida's not the only state that does that.
No, it's every state. Because what they do is like a team becomes beloved in a certain area, and then the owners are like, well, you guys are going to pay for, you know, three quarters of a stadium, or we're going to just move the entire team.
Well, and the one thing that Florida is known for is that every time that they would win like a national championship, the next year, like, yay, we're going to keep it going. Nope, we're going to disband the team.
There's way too many sports teams in the state of Florida.
Keep in mind, the Marlins have won two World Series. Like, people forget, like, they could be the laughing stock, but they have. And it's Miami fans are
way
terrible.
Way back in the days when they won
They
them,
beat
right?
the fucking Yanks,
97,
man.
97 and then again in 2000-something.
Isn't that when you guys had Griffey on your team?
I don't remember. Remember the Marlins or the... Okay, you said that.
Oh, wait, he was on Seattle, wasn't he?
There have been a series of Marlins controversies since then, some of which include Jeffrey Loria meeting in on field decision. I don't know what that is. Anyway, here's a scoop to the latest debacle from the New Times.
Scoop!
The Marlins...
Scoop!
The Marlins have sued at least 9 season ticket holders and luxury suite owners since 2013.
Did they say why they're suing season ticket holders?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it because they don't show up to the games,
It tells you everything. That virtually never happens in sports, experts say. 2 stadium vendors are also locked in court battles with the team, both alleging the Marlins promised robust crowds and they didn't deliver. All this from a team that has gone from world champions to whatever. And they hustle taxpayers on a little Havana stadium. And by the way, the stadium is like, it looks so fucking so stupid. The fucking stadium looks like Gloria Estefan just threw up in there.
Have you seen the finished product of the Dolphins football team stadium?
No, I have not.
Oh, my God. It looks like they took an IKEA table and stacked it on top of Joe Robbie.
All this from a team that has gone from world champions. I already read that. You bamboozled us from this ballpark, and now you have the audacity to sue small businessmen, says Renee Pratt, who went into bankruptcy after his Sir Pizza franchise failed at the ballpark. I lost it all. I lost my business, and you're coming after me. The Marlins declined for the New Time Story to talk to New Time Story. Here's what happened. Here's what they're suing for.
What happened?
From the fan side of things, the New Times tells the story of Mickey Axelband. That's his name. Real name.
Mickey Axelband?
His name is Mickey Axelband. A local veterinarian who has been a Marlins season ticket holder since 1993. When they opened the Marlins Park in 2012, he agreed to pay the club $24,000 for his pair of prime season tickets. That was up from $13,000 a year before. He says the Marlins promised him a number of first-class amenities, such as bottom-level parking in the stadium garage, a private entrance to the stadium, and a special lounge for season ticket holders with pre- and post-game buffets. Axelband told the New Times that midway through the first season at Marlins Park, just how the Marlins had shipped off some of their players, they stopped with the special parking and special entrances. The fancy buffet was the same food every day. Axelband says he felt that he wasn't getting his money's worth, so he wrote the Marlins a letter asking them to give back the amenities they promised. The club said no. So after the season, Axelband decided he would pay another $24,000 for the $24,000 for the following year, even though he'd agreed to a 2-year ticket contract. His thinking the Marlins didn't keep their end of the bargain, so he wasn't going to either. That's how the lawsuit came to be, and Axelband says he'll fight the Marlins just on principle because they didn't deliver what they promised.
Good, he should. That's fucked up.
Now, clearly this guy has
another
dough.
Stupid thing that like the Marlins are doing. They remodeled the outfield walls and made them see through plexiglass to entice fans to get more in on the action. I feel that that's a distraction.
God.
Yeah.
Jared Gibson
see
says
through outfield walls.
Yeah. Jared Gibson says the best Marlins fan is Marlins Man, and he doesn't even go to the games. He's famous for going to every other stadium. That's right. Have you seen that Marlins Man? He's always he goes to every stadium just wearing Marlins uniform.
Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't paid attention to baseball in ever.
Right, but my point is that so now the Marlins are suing fans.
And then the guy isn't selling enough pizza.
Yep.
So he's basically going, he probably has the same thing like a contract that you have to be at, all the home games and have your station open, and he doesn't have any money to actually even deliver pizza, so he just doesn't come anymore.
Yeah, it's not worth it for him.
They're suing him for that.
And this always happens with them, and I remember how much money. There's a reason why this pisses me off. It's not even so much because of they tore down the Orange Bowl to build this stadium. Now, whether you like, if you're into college football or whatever, anyone that knows that the Orange Bowl, or watch documentary, the Orange Bowl was one of those like classic places, stadiums that had
like
a lot of
Wrigley Field.
Dude, it was crazy.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the 72 Dolphins, they won the Super Bowl playing at the Orange Bowl.
Right.
Well, they had that undefeated season.
Exactly. So it just pisses me off that they tore it down, and then they had a good team, and every time they get good players, they drop them because they can't afford to pay them, and they keep this garbage. Miami doesn't deserve – listen, and I'm a Dolphins fan and a Heat fan and all that. Miami does not deserve teams. They don't. We don't deserve them. Nope. We don't deserve to have them.
Well, there's just too many for the entire state. That's the problem. If you guys just kind of like Jacksonville should never have a team.
I agree. But
Tampa Bay should probably not have the majority of the teams that they have.
I know the Lightning are doing pretty good right now.
But then what would we have left?
They're doing good, but is anybody going to the games?
Yeah, now they are.
No, and they've actually won a Stanley Cup.
Okay, well, then here we go. Tampa Bay gets to keep their hockey team, but you guys got to lose the Hurricanes.
No, that's college.
No,
I'm not talking college.
No, the Miami. Did you not know you have a hockey team?
Yeah,
no, the Panthers.
Oh, the Panthers. Who am I thinking of?
The Hurricanes?
You're talking about
there's a hockey team called the Hurricanes.
Yeah, but
where are they?
Fucking Carolina Hurricanes or some
Carolina,
shit?
That's what it is. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Orange
Ball. You guys get to lose the Panthers.
I agree with Jared Gibson. The Orange Ball was a dump. I know. The Orange Ball was falling apart. But they could have spent 1/4 of the money and fixed it up and made it really nice instead of tearing it down and building the fucking, I don't know what it is, the fucking Pollo Tropical that is the goddamn Marlins Stadium.
Okay, this is where you guys...
you hit that interstate and you see that thing, it looks like something out of like a future movie.
It's really bad.
All right, you guys have to figure out to just have one team for each four of the major sports for the entire state of Florida.
Okay, I could do that right now, no problem.
Okay, Dolphins, you thinking? Or you want to keep the Bucks? Or you want to keep the Jags?
You got to keep the Dolphins only because of the history. They've been here.
So
think about
they
it.
Lose.
All they're there teams, first.
Undefeated.
All
the every Florida teams. Team loses. So that you can't judge it off of that. Out of all of them, the Dolphins
Buccaneers
have the history.
Gone, and the Jaguars
the
are gone. They relocate to elsewhere.
Didn't the Bucks do really well recently?
Doesn't matter if they're doing well. Nobody shows up to those games either.
And we've been to a Buzz game. We
all right, so baseball.
Baseball, I would give it...
The Rays. Tampa Bay Rays.
The Rays.
Pretty good.
Absolutely. I would say the Rays would be Florida's baseball team.
So the other two teams, the other two baseball teams that are in that state,
So we have... Now, by anyone just joining us now, here's what we're talking about. We think Florida has too many teams, so we want to break it down to one team for every sport. So far, we have the Dolphins as the football team because of the history. Sorry, Bucks fans. I know, blah, 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 but just because of history.
Yeah, Jacksonville, you should never have been...
But Tampa fans, we're giving you... We are going to give you... We're going to give you the Lightning for sure. The Panthers are gone. You have the Lightning. And then, of course, also your baseball team stays. The Rays go over the Marlins. So you guys got two teams already.
Right. And basketball, is there more than one team in
Miami.
Florida?
The Magic. But basketball, you got to give it to the Heat because, again, they've won a lot of championships. And
Orlando. Sorry, you guys.
Sorry, Orlando. But that would be me. And the Jags go. Yes, I agree. See, Jared says the Bucks must stay. But see, now... I could argue from both sides. I see why they're saying the Bucks, but I'm judging it off of history.
It's got to go with the oldest team.
And I would go with the older. I would go with the older team. Exactly. In that regard, you got to go with the older team because you have the
seniority.
The 72 Dolphins, Don Shula, all that stuff.
I would say we are trying to develop soccer, and Orlando has Orlando City Soccer, and it's becoming big enough where
it's
legitimizing
now.
Are
you
soccer.
Serious?
It's pretty big here now.
Orlando City Soccer is huge here.
Yeah. Yeah, Jared
says...
Are
they in the MLS?
Jared says the Bucks won a championship. They did, but so did the Dolphins. I know they won it more recently, but I'm going by history. That's it. I mean, it's not a favorites thing because you guys got so... You guys still got... I'm still giving you the Lightning. I'm still giving you the Rays. So you guys are doing pretty goddamn good, you know? Now, Dutch, if we do this, do the teams get to morph all the players and then just drop whoever they don't want?
No, I think the teams stay. They just can't stay in Florida, so they can pick whatever town they want to go to.
Okay,
obviously
so
you got to keep the divisions the same because I don't, you know.
Yeah, so you could have the Utah Buccaneers, which would be weird.
There you go. Yeah, Utah could use a baseball team,
but I guess it's landlocked. So the Buccaneers,
Utah will take the Marlins.
Okay, you're right.
There's enough lakes
again,
there where it makes
sense. No, it doesn't.
No, that
still,
doesn't make
still
any sense.
Doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Fuck. Okay, we got to think this. Hold on, guys. The thing is,
okay,
most
baseball teams, we
got
the Marlins,
I got
and Tampa Bay Rays.
I got it. The Rhode Island Marlins. Boom.
Okay.
Or Connecticut Marlins.
Yeah, Connecticut. They haven't had anything since the... Oh, wait, no. We got to move the Panthers there because... Connecticut used to have the Hartford Whalers.
Okay, the Connecticut Panthers, but then here's
what
I say.
They love their hockey up
there. The Maine Marlins, because I like the alliteration.
There you go. Maine gets the Marlins.
The Maine Marlins.
Connecticut, they get to have a hockey team back, so you guys get Panthers.
Right.
Now we got two football teams we got to deal with here.
The Buccaneers? So, could you give it to...
You still got the Jacksonville Jaguars, too.
Right, two football teams.
Everyone's forgot about the Jaguars.
The Bucks and the Jags.
Jaguar could go to any
okay
city.
Here's what I'm
Iowa?
Doing hold on no I got it here's what I'm doing let's I'm going crazy here let's give Toronto Let's go Canada.
There we go.
Let's give Toronto the Jaguars. The Toronto Jaguars. Boom.
That works.
Because I think Canada should have at least one team because there's no reason they shouldn't. They could travel easily to play each other. You know?
Right.
I mean,
they have a basketball team. What the fuck? Or because they have such a huge fan base because they're always playing in London every year. Mm. How about we just ship it over to London?
They're still thinking about
doing that. But, I mean, again, that's a bitch flight for that team. All the
time. I was going to say.
Fuck. And by the way, London is small and fucking American football players are huge. So I don't know, you know where they would live there.
All right. So we're toss up between the Jags moving to Toronto and London. We'll just go with Toronto for now.
Right.
I think that still leaves the Buccaneers. Where do they go?
It's got to be by the water.
It's got to be in the Gulf. So Mississippi or Alabama?
New Orleans.
No, New Orleans has the Saints.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
Alabama.
Alabama?
Mobile? The Mobile Buccaneers?
No.
Mobile?
No, I got it. I got it. The Biloxi Buccaneers.
Biloxi Bucks?
Yeah, from Mississippi.
Yeah, Mississippi.
The Biloxi Bucks. Makes sense. It's on the water. So,
and it's catchy.
Yeah. So I think we're set. All right, so we have all our teams. Good. Someone fucking, who would do that? Governor?
Hold on. Orlando Magic. Where was that basketball
team go? Jesus, Magic.
We got to go a small market because we know that.
The Las Vegas.
Vegas.
The Vegas Magic, is perfect.
That's not bad.
Yeah, because you already have all the Magic shows there, so that's perfect. All right, so we fixed Florida's
there
problem.
We go. We fixed sports, the atrocity. And now that everything's shortened down, you'll have packed out stadiums because all the sports fans don't have to sit there and choose between fucking 25 different teams. They can just go, oh, I only got four choices.
All right, let's
Roy says the Montana Magic.
I like the Montana. Your Montana Magic.
That's not bad.
That's good. You're right. I think
because it is a Magic show that anybody actually lives in that state.
Yeah.
Why don't they bring the Magic? Why don't they bring them back to Seattle, like the Seattle Sonic, the Seattle Magic?
Oh, we forgot about
that. Oh, that's right, a good
the
call.
Sonics left and became the Oklahoma City Thunder.
We'll call them the Seattle Super Magic.
And then Sean Kemp will be the general manager.
No. Sean Penn will be the general manager.
Yeah, Sean Kemp will start as their power forward.
At his age right now. And by the way, they're going to get Puppet Penny Hardaway, a point guard. Fact.
Oh, shit.
Puppet Penny Hardaway is playing. All right,
did you just make up a dream team?
I think I did. Let's move on to another story. Let's get out of sports for a bit.
Okay.
Let's see what we're talking about.
HuffPo?
No, don't call it that.
HuffPo?
I'd rather talk about
sports.
The HuffPo? Sarah Silverman thinks it's time to start legislating male masturbation.
She's joking, right?
Yeah, I mean, she's doing that thing, you know, comparing it to abortion thing.
The sub headline says, if we're going to dictate what women do with their bodies, might as well dictate what men do with theirs.
What is she saying that we do?
I'm with that.
Says, look, Sarah Silverman gets it. We live in a country filled with anti-abortion activists. In the ocean.
I don't think there's a problem with being an anti-abortion activist. I am, and I'm a smart man.
No, you're not.
Praise Jesus.
Thank you. Brother John understands.
Who feel they have the right to decide what a woman does with her body. It sucks, but that's where we were at in 2016. Sure. All right. But if we're going to defend...
Do what you want with my body.
No. Don't do what you want with your body.
Don't do what you want with her body.
Right.
Do what you want with your own body.
No, not even my own body. Okay. I don't get
How about
to decide.
Somebody?
Who decides?
Donald Trump, I suppose.
You're President Trump. Here he is.
You're fired.
Thank you, Trump. I appreciate it.
But if we're going to defend the right of men to enact laws that limit the options of pregnant women, Sarah Silverman has just one follow-up question.
I would prefer she use well-endowed men, but that's fine.
Okay. Shouldn't we do the same with men who wish to regularly masturbate without consideration for the poor sperm cells they kill every time they do so?
I agree.
During a stand-up set at the Brooklyn Academy of Music in New York City on Sunday evening, Silverman noted a recent discovery she made about one half of the very basis of human life, and no, we're not talking about eggs. Here's something I learned that is fascinating, and it's this. Scientists have found that sperm cells smell, Silverman said. Like, I know sperm smells, but sperm cells have the same sense of smell, and you know what that means. Sperm is life. And
okay,
that
I get where she's going.
That you got to legislate that shit.
I get where she's going, and that's fine. I mean, that makes sense. I know why people do that. But
here's what the people who are against that would argue. They're saying, no, we're not telling you what to do with your body. But the second that egg gets conceived, it's not your body anymore. It's another human being's body that's now living in you. That's what they would say.
That's a good point, because no one's going to regulate my ovulation cycle. I drop eggs once a month.
Trust me, she does. It's terrifying.
It is. It's terrible. It's the worst. So no one's saying you're not allowed to have your period.
Now, did you see this? Because this is the HuffPo the other day on Twitter. They tweeted, and I'm sure you guys will find the picture for me, but they tweeted their editorial room, and it was all women, all white women. And it said, notice something about editorial room? And a black woman underneath goes, you don't hire black people? And to me, the ironic part is that their entire editorial staff is white women. So,
Huffington Post?
Yeah. Marie, can you find the picture?
I'm going to scroll through and try to find it on your timeline.
Just Google it. It'll be easier.
Yeah, you post a lot of shit.
I hate that publication.
Yeah, it was all women in the editorial, in the conference, on a conference thing, and they took a selfie, and they were all smiling and proud that it was all women there. And now they're getting the opposite backlash, saying, well, why isn't there black women there? Why isn't there a man there? How is that diverse? And that's why I hate it, too.
Because they're constantly preaching the whole diversity.
Right. Stuff. And I kind of love that this is happening, that the whole PC movement is kind of cannibalizing itself.
Oh, yes, yeah. It is. Because they realize that if you're going
to
nitpick one thing, then you're going to nitpick everything. Because once one person feels attacked, then they're going to go, all right, well, then what's your asshole fucking problem with X and Y?
Yeah, there's the picture. And, of course, by the way, they all have Macs, too, obviously.
Fuck. Dude.
Look,
ew.
All women.
Like, that just, looking at that just makes me go, ooh. That's the reason why that publication has sucked for so long.
Now, I want you to think of this. Imagine if Breitbart took a picture of the editorial room and goes, and there was all white men, and they said, notice something? Huffington Post would be writing an article ripping them apart right now for not having diversity, right?
What was the point of them taking this picture? The fact that they're all women?
Yes, that's what, because the tweet,
they were laughing it off.
The tweet said,
"How come the camera in the background is like the reverse angle of the photo?"
Because they were probably having a webinar with another department in another room, and they were, you know,
right.
Televising.
Yeah, the actual men who contribute, but they can't be in the same room.
Yeah, like maybe that was like the California office and they were connecting with that or something.
Well, says, let's play a game. Find the fuckable one in that group.
And
wow, that's tough. Hold on.
Oh, it's hard.
Let's see how attractive these women are. I mean, but you know what I mean? Like,
it was tweeted by Liz Heron at L. Heron. Says, notice anything about this at Huffington Post editors meeting.
Now, but do you notice that? Like that if this was the other way around, all men doing the same joke, they would be ripping them apart. Exo Jane would be sending in aircraft carriers to Breitbart if it was the other way around. You know what I mean?
At least Exo Jane, though, like, because they, it's all about them,
right,
being women. And
but Huffington Post is supposed to be.
I get, but Huffington Post, yeah, they're supposed to be a legit news publication.
Now, for example, like Vice, I'm okay with Vice. I understand all the reporters are going to be hipsters. I get that. You know, when I'm watching Vice, I know every single reporter is going to be a hipster who's going to put himself in danger and then adjust his glasses and scarf.
Dude,
that's fine.
The new Tosh bit of just trashing Vice and the people. Have you seen
it? No, I have to see it. I haven't seen it.
Oh my God. He has his people like doing skits of like as if they're a Vice person. Right. He has like Tom Segura standing there going, so this is where I went. And it was the most perfect impression of a Vice reporter I've ever seen.
Yeah, but I hate the Huffington Post. It's probably one of my most hated news sources, I think, on the fucking. I hate Forget
I
ready
to get mad.
I hate Arianna Huffington more than anything. Her dumb voice. Like, remember we talked about it a few months ago.
You mean Ariana Grande or Arianna Huff?
But whatever. The bitch from Huffington Post.
Oh.
It's Huffington, right? Arianna Huffington, am
I
correct?
Yeah, Ariana Grande is the musician.
No, I know.
He's
but
fucking with
no, you. No, he said Huff, but I was like,
no, Arianna Huff was the girl who used to date Ryan Seacrest.
How would I know that? You watch too much E! Dude.
No, I don't. Everybody knows who Ariana.
No, they don't. Not everybody knows. Let's take a fucking poll. If you know who, what's her name again? Arianna Huff? If you know who Arianna Huff is, let us know. I want to know if you knew who she was.
I know who Charlie Huff is.
So do I. Yeah, the fucking knuckleball pitcher for the Marlins.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, sorry, Julianne Hough. I apologize.
That is a completely different person.
Never mind.
That is so a different person.
Carry on, Royce.
Rory Black on Crack says, Vice and Huffington Post were the first two pages I blocked on Facebook. Yeah, Arianna Huffington. She was the one who tweeted a few months ago, oh, my helicopter couldn't take off because it was snowing. Hashtag first world problems. And people are like, that's not first world problems. That's I'm a fucking billionaire problems. You know, normal people don't have helicopter problems.
I wish I had helicopter problems.
Well, she was like trying to poke fun at herself, like, oh, I'm so fortunate. And, you know, but I'm aware that I am in a first world. You know what I mean? Like,
I know what she was doing, but she's an idiot.
Right. That's kind of a cunty thing.
All right, Marie, another story.
Another one already? Did we finish Sarah Silverman?
I'm done with her.
You're done with her?
Yeah, we get it. We know what she's doing.
Okay.
She has big boobs. I know that for a fact.
What is this one? It's from thesun.co.uk, which is a great domain. The mother of all Godfather movies, gangster film legends Pesci, De Niro, Pacino, and Keitel unite for new mob blockbuster based on Frank Sheeran.
Is it a video?
I don't know. Who's playing that?
It's not me.
Me.
Okay. Just making sure that it wasn't like auto-playing something on this article.
No, this is the Godfather.
Hey, Pasta Fazoo.
Have you guys heard about this movie?
It's called The Irishman, and it's, yes, Scorsese has a new mob movie coming out, which I think we're all excited about.
Wow. I trust me some Scorsese.
Now, who's the cast again, Marie?
Okay. It says Joe Pesci, mm-hmm. Robert De Niro, mm-hmm. Al Pacino, and Harvey Keitel.
That's...
Oh, shit.
Really good cast.
Yeah.
Man, Pesci hasn't done anything in a long time.
Yeah.
Says the phrase code for the way blood splatters the walls during a slaying became the title of the 2004 true crime novel after Sheeran confessed on his deathbed to unsolved murders. Now Hollywood director Martin Scorsese has reunited a cast of gangster film legends to make a big screen version, The Irishman, and promises to be the greatest mob movie ever. Scorsese, who made...
Wait, he promised that?
Yes.
Woo.
What?
No, just... That's not something that he normally says. He's normally like, oh, yeah, I kind of made this movie. It was fun.
Oh, maybe. He's coming out saying that. Sorry. And it promises to be the greatest.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if he's saying that, it's like, whoa, he's got balls on this one.
Yeah, I guess so. Scorsese, who made Mean Streets and Goodfellas. Oh, is that the Scorsese we're talking about?
Oh, not Billy Scorsese, the guy who sells the newspaper.
I was confused.
Oh. Who's the one who did The Departed? Was that him as well?
Martin Scorsese, yeah.
So I was trying to think of the last Irish mob movie, and it was that one.
It was Departed.
Okay, Departed ruled.
Jack Nicholson was great in it.
He secured £7 million of funding because I guess it's in, I don't know, Britain land.
Yeah. Britain land.
Yep. Funding at the
£7 million. That means it's $100 billion in American.
Super.
£7 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
Funding at the Cannes Film Festival for the project, which will star Robert De Niro from The Godfather. Scarface's Al Pacino.
By the way, that's pronounced the Cannes Film Festival.
You're the Cannes.
You're not saying it right.
Cannes
Film Festival.
Hey, I'm James Cannes.
No, that's the wrong Cannes. Hey, this is James Cannes. This is my film festival.
Hey, welcome. Take your shoes off.
Get comfortable. The film festival's in my house. I'm James Cannes.
BYOB.
My wife's making wings. I'm James Caan. I'm going to put on my DirecTV. It's raining.
I just keep saying who he is.
Hi, I'm James Caan. And my DirecTV is going in and out because it's raining. But we'll put the movie on in a second. This is James Caan.
In case you didn't know, I'm canceling my Netflix. I'm going to Chromecast.
Chromecast 100%. Oh, James Caan only likes Chromecast.
No Fire Stick in this house.
And the last part of that sentence was Reservoir Dogs.
Drugs.
Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs.
You're going to be okay.
Jennifer Nevers. You'll be okay.
You put that gun away from my dirty.
You're like Elvis.
I'm fucking deformed. He cut off my ear.
What do you mean you don't chip, you motherfucker?
What if the Swedish chef just redid Reservoir Dogs?
I don't want to be Mr. Pink. I want to be Mr. Purple. You're going to be pink. He's going to be purple.
Oh my goodness.
He's
Sorry.
Doing the Bort song while he's cutting his ear off.
Filming is due to begin next January. Mm-hmm. Scorsese is.
I call it January.
Scorsese is also confident he can lure Joe Pesci out of semi-retirement for this film, although Pesci...
They have to take him out of the carbonite that he's in.
Indeed.
They have to release Joe Pesci.
He said he is resisting, despite appearing in a good... Well, no. This is weirdly written. De Niro and Scorsese have made 9 films together. Pacino and De Niro have starred together, but Scorsese has never directed Pacino.
You know what sucks, though? We're going to get angry yelling Pacino. We're not going to get good actor Pacino, because that's what I'm worried about.
I'm an Irishman!
See? That's exactly what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Look at my lips. Look at my shoes.
I am exactly 5'1½".
I have to get out of the house. My voice scares my cat.
So does my wig.
Okay, can I say that Dutch's Pacino sounds like more like Harry Carey? And John's is pretty decent, but Dutch sounds like... Al Pacino here.
Look at me. I'm wearing liftable shoes.
See, that's a good Harry Carey, though. That's the problem. It's so good that it comes out in other impressions.
Up to the plate, and it looks like a small Irishman who's kind of Italian is coming out to punch him in the head.
Hi there. I'm Bob Uecker.
Why don't we just do the
just a bit outside?
Says Scorsese has never directed.
See the size of my glasses, like Coke bottles.
Yeah, right, they are there, Carrie.
Hey, Pesci, if you were a hot dog, would you eat yourself?
What do you mean? What am I hungry? Are you a breakfast food?
You really shouldn't have done that Devil's Advocate movie. It was really weird.
All I want is some fucking time machine to have Harry Carey be in this Irishman movie as a main character. That's all I want.
Hey, that's Marty Scorsese. Oh, we're rolling? I'm sorry.
Look at me. I'm the devil.
No, that movie was like 15 years ago, Pacino. Can you please stop it?
Plus, I mean, the Matrix game is a lot better than you.
Oh, Jesus.
Hearsay.
Folks, you're witnessing the greatest mob movie ever made right now.
But
it's in like a little party where they throw them off the building.
You said 3, 4, 5, Warsh. When you bury a man in the marsh, you bury a goddamn guy in the marsh.
You know, Al, you could have just said, look, but don't touch. You didn't have to do that weird yelling thing.
All right.
This article went on a lot longer.
You don't have to read the whole thing. I just wanted to.
I know. It's just sometimes I'm like, why did you write?
You know, I
so
like
much?
To read Dr. Seuss books from time to time.
All right, Harry.
One
you appreciate
fish,
it.
Two fish. Red fish, blue fish.
That's right. Hi.
And to think that I saw it on Mulberry Street.
Okay. I don't like this buddy cop thing that's just happened with Pacino and Harry Carey.
You know, I really kind of hate the guy. He's a little bit of a jerk.
I'm really into pop-up books.
You really got to stop talking like that.
All right.
Sorry, Marie.
So there's a gangster.
The sentence I was trying to finish just said that Scorsese has never directed Pacino, nor have De Niro, Pacino, or Pesci ever worked all together.
Really? Oh, they haven't. That's right. That's weird, right?
Yeah.
And nobody's talking about Keitel. He's like, and there's Keitel in the corner.
Well, Keitel's awesome, but is Keitel really known as a mob guy?
No, because he was in Sister Act.
Stop it.
What, dude, I mean,
he was in Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction. Of course he's a mob guy.
He was a mob in Sister Act.
Yeah, that's all he knows how to play.
I guess. I don't. When I think Keitel, I don't think mobster, though.
You think Sister Act like I do.
No.
I know.
Who
do you
think of that.
So then who do you think?
Bad
then?
Lieutenant?
Who?
Bad Lieutenant? Not the Nicolas Cage one. The Keitel one.
Oh, God, Nicolas Cage.
Remember that one? Was it Port of Call? Where you smoke crack in the movie? I've seen it. I seen it. I see it with my own eyes.
Ask if I seen it.
Have you seen it?
Ask me.
Seen it.
All right. Why don't we go to break? When we come back from break, we'll have more stories and yada, yada, yada. Marie, do you have the break ready?
Does Joel have a break ready?
Who has a break ready?
These all the
I
words.
Can, I can
break
do it.
Up, break it up. Break
I
it
can,
up.
I can do it, but it's going to be identical to last week's.
Do it.
Warlike Radio!
Hey, listeners,
Yes, that means you. Miss your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it. Are you too broke to go to the movies, yet want to go anyway? No problem. Just go to www.dealflix.com and use the promo code MLR to get 10% off your ticket purchase. Some movie theaters charge between $11 and $18 per ticket. Don't be stupid and pay that much. Just go to dealflix.com using the promo code MLR and you'll get 10% off your ticket purchase. Again, that's dealflix.com, promo code MLR.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
By the way,
the Nerd Hour.
The Sunny Show!
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cutprint Film Podcast.
The Comte and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. No! Get ready for Hippo Juice.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
It's High Society Radio.
You're listening to Atomicast.
More Life Radio! Hey, boys and girls, do you like movies? Do you like talking about movies and giving your opinion about every little thing that makes you mad and happy and excited and pissed off? Well, Chris Whiten?
Yes, sir.
I like talking about movies, and I like talking about movies with you. Listen to the Untitled Movie Podcast exclusively on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, it's Saturday, it's noon o'clock, what you wanna do? You wanna go fucking play outside? But sometime outside is snowing, and sometime you're like, oh, I'm tired, I don't wanna play outside. Well then, on days like that, you can listen to Rorschach and Doc. Rorschach and Doc, come on, morelikeradio.com. Every Saturday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. It's a good show where Rorschach is a fat man and Doc is a fat man and they are silly together and it's crazy. I don't like them. Okay, bye.
Hey everyone, it's Joe from the Cousin Joe Show along with
Dan from the Cousin Joe Show.
What a coincidence. We are talking about our documentary. What's it called, Dan?
It's called No Station Required.
Now this is the new promo because the old one,
the old promo,
it has a link that leads to nowhere.
Nowhere.
So we're making a new one.
It is the link to nowhere.
Okay.
What?
Huh?
Hmm?
We're going to
edit this?
Yes. If you go to nostationrequired.com or cousinjoshua.com, you can click on... Stop that.
Oh.
You can click on the PayPal to donate to the film because I'm still in like, you know, $7,000-$8,000 credit card debt for the cameras and all the other equipment that I have. So that'd be cool if you could do that. NoStationRequired.com. And also, oh, what's the other thing, Dan? Oh, our show.
Our show.
Those. When's that?
The Cousin Joe. Wyoming Nights 7 to 10?
Yes.
On Thursday nights?
Eastern.
Eastern. Yeah.
On where?
On More Like Radio.
Dot fucking com.
Fuck that com.
Hey, are you sitting around bored on Sundays between noon and 2? Well, why don't you check out The Sully Show on More Like Radio? Join myself, JT, Adam Punchy, Danielle, and Greg for all the humor you can think of, and of course, us making fun of each other. What more can you want? Again, The Sully Show is live Sundays noon to 2 Eastern with replays throughout the week. We look forward to seeing you every Sunday right here on The Sully Show on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, Andy.
Oh, hey, Doc. I'm sorry.
What the fuck are you doing?
Your exercise?
Yeah.
I'm doing my Kegels.
All right, let's start again.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, Doc. What's up, man?
Hey, you check out the new show. No, fuck. Sorry, let's try that again. Hey, Andy.
Hey, Doc. What's up?
You ever sitting around bored on a Monday night and you're like, holy shit, it's fucking 9 p.m. Eastern on a Monday. What are you going to do?
I'm going to cut it on More Like Radio is what I'm going to do, Doc.
Yeah, and then you're going to hear the Spruce Goose podcast.
Doc, I think it's the Loose News.
Yes, with Ian and Shannon. Check out the Bruce Cruise podcast.
That's Loose News, Doc. Now, come on.
The Loose Goosey Goose Goose podcast.
The Loose News, I believe the name is.
Ian and Shannon chatting with each other. They're funny. And the goddamn Poose Poose. Right?
It's the Loose News, Doc, and Shannon's easy on the eyes.
Yeah, so is Ian, if I don't say so myself. He looks like a goddamn swarthy Tony Stark. Spruce Goose.
Loose News.
I got it. Loose News? Oh, it's Loose News. Okay. Loose News, 9 p.m. Mondays.
MoreLikeRadio.com. Because mean people need to laugh, too.
Okay, Titus, so Carol Doberman will be interviewing you from the studio.
Okay. Good evening, Carol.
Carol! Carol, no!
Okay, got it. Red leather, yellow leather, red, yellow leather, leather.
Oh, okay. So we're scheduled to go on in about 3 minutes, so just sit tight and I'll count you in when we're ready.
Gonna be famous. Gonna be on TV. Gonna be famous, soaring on the wings of my dreams.
I'm joined now by a friend of one of the women, Titus Andromedon. Mr. Andromedon, can you hear me?
I'm gonna be rich, gonna buy a real belt, and burn off my skin tags.
We're having a little trouble with the audio.
Gonna be immortal, got a date with eternity. Once I am famous, I'll never be alone. I'll have so many friends. My answering machine will need a longer tape.
Moron, you're on the air.
No, 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 no. Ah! Oh, Carol. Oh, no. Why? I want to start over. I want to be a baby.
Can you hear me now, Mr. Andromedon?
Don't say my name! And don't show my face! My face!
Second hour, Hippo Juice Show. Number to call in is 954-573-2780. You do not turn that down until the beat drops. That's not, it's too loud now. I want it at a reasonable level. Thank you.
I want it louder.
A little louder. Too loud. Too loud.
A little louder.
Fine, we'll just fucking dance.
We should get these guys on the show since we play them so much.
We could try. That's Grizz, by the way. For those who want to look them up. I guess let's move into our next topic. And by the way, for those listening on Facebook, that link, like right above my head, like right here, where it says more like radio.com live, just click that and that'll get you to the main chat so you can see everybody's pretty faces.
Oh.
And Marie's face is a lot better to look like them, look at than mine.
Well, sorry. I'm not on it usually, but I did like kind of stumble in there.
Oh, yeah.
During
she
the
was
break.
Dancing during the break in front of the camera.
Trying to help out while Royce is going to the bathroom and stuff.
To go to the bathroom, Daddy.
I have to go to the bathroom, Daddy.
Bathroom, Daddy.
I have not stopped doing that to
every
Royce
time
ever
she
since.
Needs the bathroom.
I gotta go to the bathroom, Daddy. Not now, damn it.
Ever since you reminded me of that, I have not stopped doing that to him every time I go to the bathroom. It makes him laugh. I love it.
And, I gotta go to the bathroom, Daddy.
E-Rock in the Facebook chat says, dance for the monies to make the fuck. Apparently, he is a Russian mobster now.
I guess so.
He that man his monies.
Yes.
Pay that man his money.
So, thank you, Malkovich. He's on the show. He only has one line every night, though.
I know.
That's not a soundboard. He is
that's
sitting
all we can
here.
Afford.
He's
just
sitting
him.
Here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With Pam and Oreos.
That's how he is.
In fact, I own a soundboard. All this stuff just kind of happens because you have so many people in the studio.
Wasn't it Malkovich that made a movie that's not going to be seen for 100 years or something like that?
What?
Could someone pull that up, please?
Do what now?
No. Look up John Malkovich movie that's not going to... Yeah, it's a movie that's not going to come out for 100 years.
Why?
I don't know. I was thinking, look that up.
How does he know that the format will still be available?
Well, the format will be still available, as in everything will be digitized. Like, you could still watch movies from the 20s. You know what I mean?
You don't think 100 years from now, civilization is going to come to an end?
I'm hoping I'm going to be here when it comes to
it. Is it the movie called 100 Years?
Yeah.
That's the one, 100 Years, correct.
It's on IMDb, parentheses, 2115.
That's when it's supposed to come out. And they made it with some sort of drink. Was it King Louis or one of those really expensive drinks? One of those. It was weird. I mean, someone pull up an article, please, if you don't mind.
King Louis?
Yeah, King Louis the...
Oslo!
Not that one.
King Louis the 13th?
Yeah.
Are you all right?
That was great.
Great. You broke John. Hope you're happy.
It has a Wikipedia entry. 100 Years, the movie you will never see, is a film starring John Malkovich and directed by Robert Rodriguez that is due to be released on the 18th of November, 2115. Malkovich and Rodriguez announced in November 2015 that they had teamed up with Louis XIII Cognac to create a film inspired by the 100 years it takes to make a bottle of Louis
XIII. Louis XIII will give out 1,000 metal tickets that will allow the receiver's descendants to go see the screening of 100 years in 2115.
Until its release, the film will be kept at a high-tech safe in a bulletproof glass that will open automatically on the 18th of November, 2115, the date of the film's premiere, to which 1,000 guests from around the world, including Malkovich and Rodriguez, received an invitation to be handed down to their descendants to attend. The film's plot remains a complete secret. The safe in which the film is kept will be showcased at the 2016 Cannes Film Festival. Mm-hmm.
You said it wrong.
Con.
Thank you.
Oh, come on, Marie.
Con.
No.
Con.
No, it's a question.
You want me to do it, show her, or you want me you to do show her?
Do it.
Go ahead, Dutch.
Do it.
I thought. Okay.
Do it.
On the same time, you. Ready? We'll both do it.
One,
three, two, one. Con.
That's how you do it.
Film festival.
Thank you.
And various
not to be confused with the James Caan Film Festival that we talked about earlier. Hi, I'm James Caan, and this is my film festival. I don't know why that makes me so laugh so hard, thinking that James Caan just always talks about himself that
and
way.
And then here's my son, Michael Caan. Hi, I'm James Caan. Here's my son, Michael. Here's our film festival. Take off your shoes when you walk in. We do the whole Oriental thing. You take off your shoes. When you walk into the
you might remember me from such movies as Elf.
Hi, I'm James Caan. I worked with Will Ferrell once.
He never returns my calls. I'm James Caan.
He always ends it with that.
It's like military people who have to, you know, start and end their sentences with sir.
By the way, and E-Rock is reminding me of this. I wanted to talk about this. We get the movie because 100 years. And by the way, Eric says the Genghis Khan Film Festival. That's a different one.
Mm.
That
one's really bloody.
That's where you murder elephants and throw them off mountains. It's not a good film festival. Right. They only show Operation Dumbo Drop there. That's a history joke, folks. We go Bill Maher highbrow, as you hear with the elephant noise right before I said that. But fucking,
we're as hacky as they come.
Did you guys see the first episode of Preacher?
Oh my god, yes.
Dutch, did you see it?
No, I haven't watched it yet. No, I haven't.
It is fucking fantastic.
Oh my god,
it is really good. And by the way, produced by Seth Rogen. Yes, that's Seth Rogen. And
hey, want to get some weed?
That's a good Seth.
It's not bad.
Hey, we're going to get some Pineapple Express.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a problem with Preacher because they make it seem like us preachers are out there murdering innocent people. The only people doing the murdering are the people performing abortions. Killing little babies. Little dead babies.
Little dead babies.
Little dead babies.
So sad. So, oh, Preacher. So, half of
yeah,
us.
Yes. Yeah. Can I help you?
No, no, no. AMC's Preacher.
That's not my name. It's Pastor Royce. But I will reply to Preacher.
No.
I saw Abbott and Costello, and I think this is going great.
First base.
No. The TV show Preacher on AMC.
Jews on first.
No. The TV show based off of the comic book Preacher on AMC. Have you seen it? Is it just me, Royce, and John? Joel, you
yeah,
said
I haven't seen it. No, okay. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, Eric says Seth and Evan have been trying to get this made for 11 years. I didn't know that. But it's on AMC. And by the way, the guy they got to play Cassidy is fucking fantastic. He's really good. Actually,
spot the fuck on.
Everybody was cast really well, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Spot on. It's been so long since I've read the comics that it took me a little bit to remember the storyline. But once I saw the characters, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know who that guy is.
Yeah.
Totally know who that guy is.
But it was fucking really, really good. And fucking brutal. Jesus Christ. People were worried because it wasn't on HBO. Don't worry. It's fucking bloody and violent. If that's what you're worried about, there's no need. It was pretty fucking hardcore.
With religious undertones.
Right. Yeah.
Undertones? More like
could
overtones.
You, for people who may not know anything about the show, just kind of give like a synopsis of like what it's about. Oof.
Okay. Well, Preacher was a comic book written by Garth Ennis a long time ago. And it was one of the few that was so good that Marie read. Now, Marie doesn't read comics. So.
Never. But I read this one.
It was good.
It's essentially the premise is that God does exist, but he said, fuck this job, gave up and left. So there's an absence of God where there used to be one. Mm-hmm. And this guy, this preacher, was received the actual word of God as a power. So now anything he commands, people have to
literally do it. Like he literally
he says something and then they got to do it.
Fucking Eric says he's seen the first four. God damn it.
What the hell?
Come on now.
Hook a kid up. What are you doing?
For reals, bruh. Yo.
I gotta see
I almost
it.
Said the nigger word there.
Jesus Whoa, Christ.
You said it right there.
Well, I didn't say it, though. I said I almost said that word.
Okay, that's fair.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, go ahead.
It says, I'm just looking at the Wikipedia article for a nice plot summary. It says, Preacher tells the story of Jesse Custer, a preacher in the small Texas town of Annville. Custer is accidentally possessed by the supernatural creature named Genesis, the infant product of the unauthorized, unnatural coupling of an angel and a demon.
Yeah, the coupling of an angel and a demon.
So maybe that's what it was. Maybe it wasn't God, but it was an angel and a demon. Whatever. The incident flattens Custer's church and kills his entire congregation. Genesis has no sense of an individual will, but since it is composed of both pure goodness and pure evil, its power might rival that of God himself, making Jesse Custer bonded to Genesis, potentially the most powerful being in the universe.
So basically it's him and he's a preacher and he has a fucking shady ass past. He wasn't always a preacher. And it's really, really, really dark. And man, the way this episode dealt with religion was fantastic. I'm not going to spoil it. All I'm going to say is the Tom Cruise thing was hilarious.
Yes.
Indeed, it was. So yeah, he has friends, his old girlfriend Tulip, and then he has this one. Like they don't really. I don't remember if they explained it or you just have to like take it as face value. There was an Irish drinking vampire. So there's a vampire in the story named Cassidy.
Eric says Preacher is a prequel, which season one ends where the graphic novel begins.
Ooh.
Okay, yeah.
Just tell E-Rock to call in.
Yeah,
maybe
call
help
in.
Us out with this.
954573.
Yeah, help us out here, Mitch.
Come on, buddy.
954-573-2781.
I was going to say, what chat room are you in? I can't see
He's
anything.
In the Facebook one.
Oh, okay.
That's cool. I didn't know that the prequel thing, because I guess they're going to do that, and then season two is going to go into the comic, I'm assuming.
Cruise control.
No.
No?
No.
This time we need a bigger boat.
No. William Dafoe may be in it, though. I don't know if that's true. He was just in Speed 2, and I wanted
First of
to...
all, it's Willem.
I call him William because we're in fucking America, dude.
I call him Will-I-Am Dafoe.
Will I am the foe?
Mm-hmm.
Will I am the friend?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Arseface was great. If you can look in the chat room and see the kid who tried to blow his brains out with a shotgun, how they made him look in the show is pretty good.
Indeed. Quite good indeed. Yeah, the
character. Now his character, basically, he tried to kill himself like Kurt Cobain, I believe.
Right, correct, with a shotgun, yeah. And his dad's the cop.
The sheriff in town.
The sheriff.
Is this like the first like big show that AMC's come out with in a while? Because they got rid of Mad Men.
They still have The Walking Dead.
Obviously, that's like a staple for them because I think that
they've come out with other shows.
Into the Badlands or Welcome to the Badlands. Yeah. I heard that didn't do so hot.
Yeah, some of their shows haven't done that great. I mean, I haven't seen some of the interim shows like, you know, that. I mean, Better Call Saul.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, Breaking Bad, you know. But like that's a, you know, that's a built-in audience for the whole Better Call Saul thing. Mm-hmm. With the whole Breaking Bad. I'm not saying that they're taking a dip, but I'm just saying, is this like the new original programming that they've come out with that is starting to get a buzz?
Yeah, it is. Apparently, and according to Eric, it says HBO passed on it, by the way, and AMC picked it up.
Yeah, they did.
That's crazy that HBO passed on it.
Well, HBO has Game of Thrones going on.
Yeah, but HBO has room for everything. By the
way, remember all that? It was greenlit. They actually had production like photos from the Preacher, and then the CEO stepped down. The new guy then passed that because he said he didn't want to delve into religion.
It was, and now they have the show fucking Left Behind or whatever that bullshit is. But isn't that religious?
Yeah, it's basically The Rapture.
The Leftovers or whatever that is?
So
the
Leftovers.
So I'm looking at AMC's schedule, and the featured originals listed are Preacher, Fear the Walking Dead, The Night Manager.
Haven't seen that.
Turn, Washington Spies.
Haven't seen that.
Talking Dead and Talking Preacher. So the talking versions of Preacher.
I thought The Americans was on AMC.
Am I the only one that thinks that now every show, because the Talking Dead did so well, not every show has an after show? Like there's the Game of Thrones after an after show now. And now,
I don't mind it. I like having the creators of the shows talk about the shows.
Well, this Sunday is supposed to be after Preacher.
Right.
Yeah, because I like, because if I'm not with anybody and I just watch an episode, mm-hmm. the only thing I want to do is talk about that episode. But if I'm with like Kelsey or whoever and they're not into the show or they don't watch it on a regular basis, I have no one to.
Right.
Discuss
by the
it
way,
with. So
by the way,
at least watching other people discuss it. It's like, okay.
Did you watch Game of Thrones yet? The latest episode. Watch it tonight. You're gonna love it. When you watch it, I want you to text me what you thought because I think it's fucking so good. You haven't been on the internet then, so you have no spoilers yet.
Oh no, I've really kept off.
Okay, no, that's good. That's good. I want you.
I'm not gonna look in the chat room because I know where animals are gonna spoil.
No, yes, I wouldn't because they will do that.
Absolutely, without even a hesitation. But do you want to get to the next movie topic on our list of topics?
I
want to
get
discuss?
To Party Town.
Well, you can't get to Party Town until you down a bottle of Jack. Yes.
Go ahead.
Give Captain America a boyfriend. The campaign's to make Disney's big franchises more gay friendly.
Did we do this last night?
Do we not? We didn't talk about this last night.
No, we never talked about
this. Captain America having a boyfriend?
Off,
no.
Off air. After the show, I think we talked about it, Dutch.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, now I want to talk about it on air because I went to bed afterwards. So fuck you guys and staying up late.
Screw you guys. I'm getting him.
Past midnight. You.
I got a job.
I'm getting him.
When a hashtag campaign to hashtag.
You said it wrong. Oh, we're getting a call.
I'm reading.
Hash brown.
Hi, caller.
Hash
who's
pound.
This?
Hash brown. Hi, it's E-Rock.
Hey, E-Rock. What's up,
hey,
man?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hi.
Okay, so
hello all.
Good. How
Hi.
You doing, buddy?
We haven't talked to you in a little while there.
Yeah.
The Coon's age.
Been a bit.
No.
There's
a rare chance I get to listen to your show.
Yeah, it's nice. I appreciate it.
Well, when it's live, I mean.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Now, so I didn't know this. The season one is going to be a prequel to the graphic novel of Preacher?
Yeah, I spoke to Dominic Cooper last week, and we were talking about he's the guy who plays Jesse Custer as the preacher, and I wasn't aware of it, but he said yes, season one is pretty much leading up to where the graphic novel starts.
Well, but that makes sense though, only because if I remember correctly, in the graphic novel it started there, but there was a lot of flashbacks.
Yeah,
right. And it's also great that they didn't just assume there would be any kind of built-in audience for this particular series, because it's risky enough when you're using lesser-known superhero characters to start a show or add to a movie or something like that, and then get to their backstory. Mm-hmm. This is something that really nobody in the mainstream public would have any inkling exists. So the fact that they're starting, like they're backing it up a bit, and that they'll end right where the books are, I think is a great way to introduce it to the mainstream.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's true, because it's not even like The Walking Dead was a comic that was currently going on. I mean, Preacher came out how long ago? 90 what?
97, I think, is what we said last night, right?
Yeah, I think so. But
maybe that was Deadpool.
Back, as we say, back in the long, long ago.
Yes, back in the long, long ago.
Here's the thing: are they planning on doing like what The Walking Dead is doing, where they kind of follow the blueprint of the written material and then kind of, you know, just kind of meander off the path every episode? Or are they? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just asking. Like, are they going to do that? Like, or not?
Well, from what I understand from what he told me was that they're doing it this way because, and you'll get everybody who is a fan of the series on the internet because they have to complain about everything. This isn't what the graphic novel is. They're taking too many liberties. It's a way to, look, people who have no idea about Preacher get on board, see something new. People who know and read the graphic novels and know about Preacher, this is something new for you too. So everybody can be on the same page when it gets to the part where the book starts.
Right.
It's an interesting concept to do it that way. He hasn't explained any more as far as where they're going to go with season two yet, but it's pretty much going to start off with the first couple of books. It's going to be in that realm, and then who knows, maybe they go off on their own.
That would be good to, because I it was so long since I read the books. I couldn't remember how or what that superpower was that he got. I thought it was actually God, but now reading the Wikipedia entry, I remember it was like Genesis, and it was the mixture of an angel and a demon. They could probably go into that a little bit more if they're doing this as a prequel.
Right. They don't even, I got to see a few of the episodes in advance, and they haven't explained what it is that has come down and possessed the Preacher yet. They have not gotten anywhere near what that thing is and what that story is. It's just showing him starting to feel changes and feel different and starting to realize, hey, he's got something, but he's not quite sure what's going on with him yet. He just knows he's starting to learn he's got the ability to do things.
I mean,
they're really taking it slow,
which is
good.
But
the action isn't slow, because there's some great shit coming up.
That's because even the first episode had some brutal stuff. When he got in that bar fight, I was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
I really enjoyed the car scene of Tulip and the fight that they had going down the cornfield. That was an incredible scene.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying, like, even if you pay attention in the background between scenes, you can see stuff that's, I guess, that's yet to come from reading the books.
Right. I also want to commend Royce for not spoiling the fact that Tom Cruise blows up in the first episode. So
you asshole. I was planning on watching that too, you dick.
Bravo for avoiding spoiling it in the chat room.
That was awesome. That's the best way. There you go, Dutch. Now you know.
Yep. Dick.
But we could all agree that it's not going to be as good as the new Ghostbusters. Am I right, guys?
Oh, God.
But I will say this: it is weird because they do take some liberties and some risks, which I think will pay off. Because as you get halfway into the season, they do this cool crossover with Supergirl that you never see coming.
But then they don't explain it in the Flash later.
Yeah, they don't explain it in the Flash episode later for some reason.
Right. But who knows what season two brings?
Oh, God. Yeah, I tell you what season two brings for Supergirl. Season two brings a fucking sliced budget. They got that that CW money now.
Yeah, but I've heard there's some interesting retooling with that show that they're actually going to amp it up more now that it's part of the CW universe. And because right now, if anyone gives a shit about this, Supergirl exists on her own and travels through alternate dimension to where she is, but now they're going to start working it into the storyline.
Yeah.
Now that it's on the W, is Dawson's Creek going to have a crossover?
It's also going to crossover. James Vanderbeek is coming back for it.
Oh, oh God.
Yep.
Right. And then Dawson's Creek is going to cross over to Gilmore Girls, and then everyone dies.
Oh, that's already back. It's back on Netflix. It could happen.
Oh, God, the Gilmore Girls was the worst show on television
ever.
No,
it wasn't. You shut your mouth.
No one talks that fast.
A fast show talking.
Speaking of Netflix, anyone excited that with the new Disney deal on Netflix?
Oh,
what are you talking about?
I didn't hear about this.
Disney is allowing some of their work to be on Netflix, including Marvel movies.
It's bigger than that because not all the details are out yet. But, all right, I've always said when Netflix was starting to get big and figuring out the streaming stuff, other film companies started pulling their stuff off of there because they thought, well, why should we have it on Netflix? We can set up our own service and make all the money.
Yep. Right.
Like Paramount. Paramount's the biggest offender of all of this because they took everything for those out there, Star Trek, right? They have the entire Star Trek library and Wayne's World and things like that. They decided to make their own streaming service behind a paywall. It's pretty difficult to filter through, and everyone got kind of pissed off. Like, just put it on Netflix. Everybody wants it in, like, one or two places. You don't need every studio making their own streaming service so that Fox has everything, and Warner Brothers has everything, and Paramount has everything. $7 to $10 a month adds up quick, and you don't want to pay for every fucking service. So I always thought that Disney would be the only one that could survive this outside of Netflix because generations go by, who's not watching Disney stuff, right? So they signed this new deal with Netflix where everything, including Disney, Pixar, Lucasfilms, Buena Vista Television, etc., all their properties are now going to be on Netflix and in time exclusively on Netflix.
But wait a minute.
Wow.
Does that
mean every other studio is going to fall in line and they're going to have to?
Do you think it was because of the success of like Daredevil and Jessica Jones that this happened?
I think those were definitely, those shows were done well and with great cooperation with Netflix. I didn't realize at the time, but I think those were just like beta testing for Disney to see, hey, let's see how these shows work out.
Right.
They're working great. Okay, we can do more adult Marvel content on Netflix and then keep the movies, at a lower rating so that no families and kids can still go see it. So you're getting the best of both worlds, and they say, like, wow, Netflix is really the place to be for all of this stuff. Okay, let's make this deal happen. So now you get Disney, fuck everybody else. Even though you want to watch movies on something that maybe Fox owns or Warner Brothers owns, yes. Mm-hmm. But you got Disney. Netflix just ensured that they're never going away.
Now, here's my first thought, though, is what did Netflix have to give up to get Disney? Like 49% of their shares, or like what happened?
I don't know what they had to give up, but they've been working this deal for a while, obviously with the Marvel universe.
Yeah, Marie.
And then a couple other things too, like I'm trying to think. There's some animation stuff that they're bringing back. I know they're bringing Voltron, but Disney doesn't own Voltron.
That's DreamWorks.
There's stuff. I saw something down the line that they're doing some. I think they're bringing out DuckTales.
No, DuckTales is great. I get that. But Darkwing Duck, we need Darkwing Duck back. That's the show I want back.
He wrote to me when I was 7.
Darkwing Duck wrote to you?
I told you that story.
What did he say to you? I don't remember.
My mom got this like list of basically you could write like famous people or whatever. And I wrote Darkwing Duck. Obviously, it was the animator. And I asked like a dumb question of like, why don't you die when such and such happens to you? The guy, or one of the animators, sent me a hand-drawn picture of Darkwing Duck, and there's a hand-drawn hand with an eraser that's erasing the bottom half of him, and on the bottom it says, "Because I'm a toon." My mom has it somewhere in like at my house.
That's awesome.
I know.
That is awesome.
Yeah, dude. I was 7.
That's awesome to get, because I one time wrote Bill Watterson, the creator of Calvin and Hobbes, and all he sent me back was an envelope of white powder, and then I was sick for like 3 years.
Oh, Jesus.
He gets you every time. You know, these cartoons are innocent, but the guy's a prick.
Yeah, he was very stern that he
does not do interviews.
Well, he's dead now, but...
I haven't read through the whole deal. I only just heard about it, and E-Rock, it sounds like you know more about it than I do. What is going to be Disney's deal with the movie vault situation that they do, where they lock up movies in a vault and not re-release them forever? Like, is that just going to go away?
I think they're going to rotate their movie stuff like they do with the vault when they release certain things for, you know, purchase on Blu-ray. But they're still going to keep their Disney video streaming stuff. So, like, when, for those who don't know, if you bought a Disney movie and it has a Blu-ray, has a DVD, and then it has the digital copy, you fill out the code through the Disney website, and you now have a copy online in their cloud.
Right.
That you could download to all your devices and whatever, or, you know, iPad if you're traveling on a plane, something like that. You'll still have that. But they're also going to have the movies available, you know, rotating on Netflix. And I think it's also available, too, which is great for parents, because Netflix has the other feature that's Netflix Kids. So when they log into that, they'll have the entire Disney library, with the exception of, you know, like fucking Daredevil and Jessica Jones.
I want Flight of the Navigator on Netflix.
Yes.
Don't we all?
That movie, I saw that movie as a kid, and it was fucking awesome.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You never saw Flight of the Navigator?
No.
How have you never seen
the
that?
The spaceship.
It used to be on ABC, used to have like Sunday night at the movies on Channel 7 in New York, but wherever ABC is where you live. And Flight of the Navigator used to be on like every other Sunday.
I think if you saw a picture, hold on, I'm going to show you a picture. And maybe
I did, maybe I didn't. I mean, mind you, Royce, we both grew up in very super conservative Christian households, so I didn't get to watch that much TV as a kid.
It was a Disney movie, though. It wasn't.
I just
it was Davy and Goliath 24/7.
Here it is.
Flight of the Navigator.
Here.
It was filmed in South Florida, too.
All right. There. Here you go, Dutch.
I'm reading through articles now. It says Netflix could ultimately pay more than $300 million a year for the Disney movies.
And it'll be
totally worth it, because they'll make it exclusive. Unless you buy the stuff and have the digital copy through the Disney streaming, their vault, their cloud, the only way you're going to get anything Disney is going to be through Netflix.
Well, I'm fine with that. I'm perfectly fine with that. And by the way, Dutch, look in the chat room. That's the spaceship from Flight of the Navigator. You don't remember that?
Yeah, it was a metallic clam.
And now it's fucking rotting away, fucking with rust on it at the MGM backlot tour, or the Hollywood Studios backlot tour. It's
teenagers sneak in there to fuck.
Yeah, they do. Uh-huh. It's true.
I've never seen this movie, no. Or show, or whatever the fuck it is.
I mean,
since we're talking about childhood movies, I'm longing for them to bring back Radio Flyer, because nothing, you know, reflects my childhood more than, you know, child abuse and then hoping to escape to a better tomorrow.
You know what's funny about that, Eric? We were talking yesterday about another kid's movie that was fucking that had a fucking terrifying ending. My Girl.
This Boy's Life?
My Girl.
My Girl?
Yeah. That was fucking brutal. He can't see without his glasses.
He can't see without his glasses. Put his glasses on. Put on his glasses.
That's a kid's movie.
And meanwhile, Dan Aykroyd's in the back of a funeral home drinking vodka out of a crystal skull.
Exactly. And looking for aliens.
Do you remember that scene, though? Like, she's sitting there saying, put on his glasses, and Dan Aykroyd grabs her and goes, he's gone, honey. He's dead. He's gone. And it's like, dude, could you console your 9-year-old for 1 second?
Well, do you ever see the, on the My Girl DVD, they had deleted scenes? Did you ever see when the scene that they cut is when she's going crazy and he smacks her across the face and said, you can act like a man, what's the matter with you?
Oh, there you go. Well, I did not see that, no.
I know.
Oh,
they never let the director's vision truly shine.
And I think we all agree Aykroyd's best movie was Blues Brothers 2000, right, guys?
Ugh.
No, best. I'm going to have to disagree with you.
I preferred him as the judge in Nothing But Trouble.
Hey, you know what? Nothing But Trouble was underrated. I love Nothing But Trouble.
I do, too. If it wasn't for Digital Underground, that movie would totally suck.
I saw that as a kid.
Digital Underground wasn't it.
I saw that as a kid, and I remember being terrified by the babies.
The Bone Crusher.
Yes. The fucking Bone Crusher was scary as shit, dude. That roller coaster?
They misled you. It was a roller coaster to your death.
Dude, it was so bad. I mean, fuck. And then it was, and then also scared me as a kid when Aykroyd's character was like taking his nose off and like taking his teeth out and his eyeball. I'm like, oh, what the fuck?
Hi, I'm Bobo. I'm not allowed out of the house.
That one, yeah, exactly.
He's taking his nose off like Digital Underground.
Well, that scene is awesome.
If I watch that movie with my kid and that scene's coming where he's taking his teeth and everything out, I'm going to lean over to my kid one day and go, just like Grandma.
Ooh, just ruin Grandma for him forever. Oh God, that what's his face was in it? John Candy was in it as the cop.
That's
John
right.
John Candy cannot make a bad movie.
No, I love John Candy was the best part of Home Alone.
Wagons East.
That's not fair. He died halfway through it.
Well, technically, he never finished that movie, so he gets a pass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the dinner scene in Nothing But Trouble when he's eating. Oh, fucking just. Oh God, is there any
more? I like me.
Is there any? But there's certain movies that back then as a kid were fucking terrifying.
The only one that was traumatizing for me was The Fox and the Hound.
No, but that's different. You're right. That was fucking really sad.
I'm a hound.
Yeah, but so was Bambi. Bambi was on the same page as Fox and the Hound.
Well, I mean, here's the
thing. I agree, but my mom banned Bambi from our household, so I didn't understand that one. But she didn't ban Fox and the Hound because it came out while I was alive, so she didn't know any better.
Well,
you ever see that
Bambi,
episode?
They set a precedent in Bambi.
I'm sorry, Joel.
I'm sorry.
Joel, what did Eric ask?
I apologize.
Go for it, buddy.
I said, you ever see that Simpson episode where Milhouse's favorite movie is Finding Nemo, and then he realizes that there's a chapter one because they always started it on chapter two?
That's
actually very funny.
That's actually just like how I understood Fantasia to operate as a child, because apparently my parents always turned it off before Heaven and Hell started at the end.
Oh, the scary part. That's right, with the demon. That was another scary Disney movie.
I didn't realize that that's what happened. And then like years later, I watched it all the way through. I'm like, what the hell is this shit?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not just the Heaven and Hell, but you know, you get, he's almost drowning from the flood of the brooms marching in and dumping water.
Yeah.
And then pink elephants on parade. Everything in that movie was terrifying.
It was an acid trip, really, more than anything else.
Except for the topless horses. Am I right, guys?
No, no.
Oh,
no, Sean.
I think Fox and the Hound, it's been so long since I've seen it, but wasn't Fox and the Hound the movie that went against the rule where the parents died at the beginning? Because Fox and the Hound got only sad at the end. It wasn't at the beginning.
Yeah, because Bambi set that precedent of killing it early on, so you have early sadness.
And then you're happy later.
It's a whole slow build up to happy.
Like The Lion King is another one that's
exactly,
kind of like
that.
That
one too.
And I think that's why The Fox and the Hound was sadder, because it ended sad, where most Disney's movies
end
happy.
No, it was the worst one, and I'll tell you why. All the other ones, they introduce a character right away, and they kill it off right away, so you don't get attached. The Fox and the Hound, they made them be friends as children, and then one had to kill the other one as an adult. That is fucked up.
It's terrible.
It is not okay.
It really is awful. I'm getting sad just thinking about it.
Your parents are like, the sooner you learn that life's a disappointment, the better you'll be. Toughen up.
A fox has no name.
I'm poor. I don't care.
Fucking. Yeah, man. That was one of the really, really bad ones. Again, one of the very few Disney movies that ended sad. You're the best of friends. Oh, come on. Don't do that.
Don't
play
do
that.
It.
Don't play
no,
that.
Don't do it. Oh. Don't do it. Turn it off.
Don't.
No. Forever.
I remember, like, crying, like, a lot because of this goddamn movie.
Oh, I cried so hard.
You
I cried
fuck
so
Disney.
Hard.
That's bullshit, man.
It is so fucking
I'm
sad.
I'm mad now.
Disney taught you about life.
It really did.
Disney got you ready for the real world, whether you were ready for it or not.
I read some psychological thing about how Disney movies always try to kill off parents or whatever because it's for children. So children, it's like teaching children how to grow up and find their own character or something.
I think
there was like a weird, like, yes, Disney always formulaically makes the parents evil or
It had to do with Walt Disney's mom, I believe. Something,
potentially.
Yeah, I believe I read something had this with his mom, and then she had sick. She died or something like that, and it affected him, and that's why.
Because of a Jewish doctor.
And that's why he was sort of a Nazi, allegedly, like, you know. So
that's a long way to go.
Yeah, we got there, but we took the long way around the mountain, though.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Way to go there, Stretch Armstrong.
We're killing your parents off now. The sooner you know that they're going to die, the better off you'll be.
Yes,
get it out of the way now.
Enjoy Bambi.
Come to
Enjoy
fucking terms
Bambi.
With it.
You're on your own. walk home from the theater.
Yeah, seriously. Everyone dies.
That'd be great if, you know, as a goof, you know, back then, because it was the olden days, you can get away with it.
Right.
When it comes out in the theater, that during that opening scene, and all the kids are, like, you know, eating their popcorn and it's sitting on the edge of the seat, really glued to how great this cartoon looks, and all the parents sneak out. So when the mom dies and the kids turn around, all the parents are gone, and you just got a theater full of screaming children, and the parents are just, you know, outside having a cigarette.
Yeah, they're smoking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor. And you know what? The those hunters never really got their comeuppance, did they?
I got to send that to a show that does sketch comedy. I really think if you translated that to a real-life version of the parents leaving at the beginning of every Disney movie so that the kids freak out when the parents killed.
Every time.
That's pretty fucking funny.
What? You got a sick sense of humor, buddy. What was the last, like, Disney movie or Pixar or whatever that killed a parent early on? I feel like this was like an 80s, 90s thing to do.
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy, if you count Marvel movies.
Well, yeah.
They
killed
did.
A parent?
Yeah, they killed his mom died right at the beginning of cancer.
Oh, right. I'm talking about like a kid's movie, though.
I would say Nemo, but there was a movie that came out. I have it, but I haven't watched it yet, called The Good Dinosaur. I don't know. That looks like it has the potential for some early parent death.
Oh, my God, dude. Land Before Time.
Oh, my God.
All their parents died.
That was before Nemo.
Holy, no, I know, but I'm sorry, I had a flashback to a traumatic time in my life, but yeah, Nemo is one of them.
Joel, spoiler alert.
What was the mouse died. Movie in the 80s? Remember they made a couple of them?
Oh, the
really racist towards Jews one.
The Secret of Nymph.
Five Goes West, yeah.
American Tale?
American Tale,
that's
yeah.
what it was.
That had death and him crying on a boat or something like that.
Yeah, but that was
he like lost his family and they were like living in Rat New York looking for him.
Yeah.
More like Rat Jew York, am I right, guys?
Yeah, you're right.
Goodness. That's another theme too. If your parents don't die, your parents wind up leaving you somewhere.
Yeah, that's
and the
fucking
kid gets devastated and has to learn to self provide and survive. Like Home Alone was one of those movies,
yeah.
But that was one of the first times for like real life that they did it. It's like that could have been an animated Disney movie, but they're like, you know what? Let's just try it with real people and see how it goes.
I really related to any of those kind of movies because I was the kid that whenever I went to Great Adventure or any kind of a Six Flags, I would get lost.
Right.
And being a child of one of 23 and being one of the middle ones, you kind of just get lost in the mire. Every time we went out, I got lost and had to get picked up by the cops, and my cops had to find my mom and dad.
here's another one that guys that didn't, I don't think, had a parent. Maybe I'm wrong, but a parent that the Jungle Book had Mowgli was abandoned, but his parents weren't killed, right?
Wasn't it a shipwreck or something?
It was a shipwreck.
There you go.
Or was that Tarzan? I forget. Something.
That might be Tarzan. I don't even recall Mowgli having.
I think
parents.
Mowgli was just abandoned and then just raised by.
Yeah, they didn't really set that up so much, which is okay. Now he's being raised by animals.
Right.
His parents
I don't
are
know if
a
you've
bear.
Seen the live action
yes,
Jungle Book.
Yeah, I did.
Have not seen it yet, but I've heard rave reviews.
It's very good.
It's really
well.
Good.
You want to know one of those rave reviews? Is Royce is actually a journalist now? He's a movie critic for
the Lakeland Ledger. I do movie reviews for the Lakeland Ledger. And I did.
Heath Ledger.
It's the Lakeland Ledger. And we Marie and I went to go see a Jungle Book, and it was actually really, really good. Fucking Bill Murray as Baloo was fantastic. I mean,
I think we need to. Royce, you have a pool, right?
Yes.
I think there needs to be a video of Royce floating on his back, singing the Bear Necessities in his pool.
I could do that.
I think it would go viral.
Are you calling him a bear?
I'll do
and
that.
And Marie can totally be Mowgli.
I don't think I can sit on his chest. I would just drown him.
No, you just
not
dance
with
around.
That attitude.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that too.
Believe. If you believe in yourself.
Well, maybe if I put floaties on my legs.
Yeah, there you go. See, now
there
you're thinking
go.
Outside the box.
See, now you're thinking. Make it a stage show.
It'll
gotta
be great.
Go viral here.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I get it, because Royce is big and hairy like a bear.
Oops, sorry.
I was going to say, he has a lovely...
Jesus.
Sorry. I was trying to play a song and something else kicked in. I apologize.
He was flipping on one of the rock stations.
No, it's mislabeled. I was trying to play the Bill Murray singing the Bare Necessities, and then some thematic music just started playing.
And it somehow it was Danzig's mother.
Yeah, for some reason. Mufasa, Maul says, we're forgetting the Lion King as the most brutal parent death scene. Yeah, I would say out of all the Disney ones, that's probably the worst, right? Because he actually...
That's pretty bad.
You know?
I still cried more in The Fox and the Hound. Again, Mufasa was an introduced character killed off quickly.
You just didn't like JTT. That was your problem with The Lion King. You didn't like Simba's voice.
He was okay, but I mean, Home Alone or Home Improvement was not that good of a show.
No, in fact, Home Improvement could be summed up again by going back to The Simpsons, where they showed Tim Allen on a riding lawnmower, and he backs it up through the fence and runs over Wilson, and he goes, "Uh-oh, going back to jail again."
They did that joke? That's great.
Yeah, Google Home Improvement Simpsons. You'll find
that's
clip.
Very so, funny.
So funny, because he supercharged his riding lawnmower and hit it and went backwards through the fence and killed Wilson.
That's great.
Wilson.
Here it is. I found it. I got it. I got it. Here it is.
I supercharged my riding mower. Oh, no. I've killed Wilson. Looks like it's back to jail for me.
Wow.
Was he in jail before?
How great is that?
Yeah, he went to jail for cocaine. He used to sell drugs before he became a stand-up.
I had no idea.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's why that joke is hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just thought it was The Simpsons, so it was funny.
No. They were literally ripping Tim Allen for serving time.
Why did I have
to? I think him and Kelsey Grammer went to jail for cocaine around the same time.
Oh.
Really?
Wow. I didn't know about Kelsey Grammer.
That's what ham and eggs means.
Frasier?
Yeah, look it up. Kelsey had some issues during the early years of Cheers.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Fun fact, and both of them were on The Simpsons.
We're learning about life today.
We are.
Your parents die. Your parents will abandon you. Celebrities go to jail for cocaine. Circle of life.
It is. Right? It is. And look how great Tim Allen's career is now. I mean, if it wasn't for Pixar, he'd be selling coke again. Think about it.
Say what you want. Say what you want, but that guy will never have to work again.
Nah, you're right.
The back end of that show.
Holy shit, dude. I'm looking at, like, Kelsey Grammer's youngest sister, when she was 18, was abducted, raped, and murdered.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's what kind of started his downward spiral.
Yeah.
I think that was an episode of Frasier.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that was an episode.
Let's see. Arrested for drunk driving and cocaine possession. Spent 30 days in jail.
Oh, yeah. There's Tim Allen's mugshot. Look at that mustache. He's rocking that stash hard.
He got sentenced to 3 years probation because of it.
He looks like he was like a stuntman for Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah, I was going to say, he looks like he wants to be selling cigarettes.
And the odd thing, he was Sally Field's stuntman, which was weird.
Yeah, same person. Oh, not many people know that. Have you ever seen him in the same room together?
Nope.
No.
Sally Field and Tim Allen, same guy.
same guy.
Yep.
Well, let's bring this all back to what started everything with Preacher.
Yes.
So you're going to love this show. I mean, from the advance that I saw of it, I can't wait to see the rest of it. I was begging AMC to give me the rest, but they wouldn't.
Damn it.
I haven't read these books since I think they came out, and I never read the entire series either. But I watched this thing, and I was like, oh, my God, this thing is amazing. So if you haven't seen it, definitely check it out. I know Dutch has, and it's on demand. Definitely worth your time.
Yeah, check it out, Dutch. Seriously.
Oh, I will, definitely.
Hey, Eric, dude, thanks for calling, man. I appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Take care. Have a good night.
All right.
Love you.
There goes Eric.
Hold the door.
You could hear him on Sirius XM every Friday. It's Eric Nagel. So check him out. And his episodes are on demand, too. So make sure, again, you check it out.
A lot of geek and reference and nerd talk. It's actually a pretty good show.
It's Eric Nagel, also on Facebook, so you can check it out.
By the way, I did not know until I'm looking at Kelsey Grammer's thing, speaking of The Simpsons, he's the voice of Sideshow Bob?
Yes.
Everyone knows that.
I had no idea.
You're stupid.
I'm very stupid, apparently.
And then Sideshow Mel was his sidekick from Frasier.
Yes.
His brother.
Whatever.
Oh, okay.
Niles Crane.
I had no idea.
Whatever the guy that played Niles Crane.
I never watched Frasier. I didn't. It did not appeal to me ever. Did any of you guys watch Frasier?
I've seen a number of episodes. It's
That's like we never watched Wings, did we?
No, but I mean, I'm young, but I've seen Cheers. I mean, there was Nick at Night and stuff. You know,
it kind of had the same formula of the other shitty show with all the Jews.
Jesus.
Seinfeld.
Same formula, but instead of a bunch of Jews talking about nothing, it was a bunch of rich New Yorkers talking about nothing. So it was.
Weren't they in Seattle?
Or rich Seattleans. I don't care.
Right. And that's a spinoff from Cheers again.
Yes.
But I guess we have time for one more story. Do you want to pull one more out?
Well, do we want to talk about the one I tried to get to?
Yes, that's good.
Captain America having a boyfriend?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. When a hash pound...
John, please stop breathing into the mic.
Sorry.
When a hash pound campaign came to give... Hashtag give Captain America a boyfriend caught fire on Twitter this week. A common refrain echoed across the internet aiming for the ears of Disney execs. Give Marvel...
That's short for executive.
Yes, it is. Give Marvel superhero a man to love because he's pretty much already has one. Now, would we agree that Bucky's kind of his boyfriend at this point?
I would say Bucky's a bromance, but I definitely wouldn't say that you did. Like, Captain America's never been gay in the comic books.
He's never been gay in any of the universes.
No.
So why would he be gay now?
Because this is the new thing now. It's like...
Let's make something gay.
Like, listen, if you want a gay character, why not come up with a new one? You know what I mean? And there you go.
Haven't they had a few gay characters in the comic world?
Yes, of course. They have. There's been quite a few of them. That's Iceman, turned out to be gay.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and there's... I have to remember. There's quite a few. Now, fucking, I'm
Dazzler?
Yeah, Dazzler, of course, was gay.
She was a lesbian?
Yeah. And who else? There's been some. Obviously not as much, and I understand that's the point. Did you see you can't name
Captain America's not gay. I don't know what Twitter was trying to push for.
But this is the new thing now. Didn't you see a couple weeks ago, give Elsa a girlfriend? That's the other one.
They
want Elsa from Frozen.
It's a kid's movie. Dude, you gotta relax. Like, everybody's for equal rights. The majority of America is. But don't stop. You're getting crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Your gayness is really getting annoying at this point.
But the thing is, Dutch, understand something? It's not the gay people that are doing this. It's not.
Oh, it's the...
No, it's not. Gay people are like... what? Gay people go watch Captain America with everybody else, and it doesn't affect them. Like, but it's not. It's a social justice warrior. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because now Marvel
you think
has...
that's where it's from?
Of course, dude. Of course. Now, Murray, keep reading.
Yeah, sorry. When it comes to Captain America's heart, everyone knows that ticker bleeds red, white, and blue, and that it belongs to one person. No, not Peggy Carter or her beautiful young niece, but Bucky Barnes, Captain's long-lost bestie. Just about no one was really rooting for Steve Rogers and Sharon Carter to hook up in Captain America Civil War, especially when he planted that shoehorned in kiss on her so soon, too soon, after Peggy's death.
First off, the movie was fantastic.
I didn't like that either.
The movie was fantastic, though. So
the movie was awesome, but that scene was like, they didn't necessarily need to have that in here.
Yeah, because they didn't build enough of background why they were kissing. I will agree.
Yeah, I didn't even really
remember
her. And
it's also like, hey, I fucked your grandma. Can I fuck you? Like, that's basically what happened.
Yeah, it felt forced. Like, maybe have them do, like, a little bit of flirting in this movie and then get to it in maybe a later film. But, yeah, they kind of forced it.
Yeah, go ahead.
The epic love between the great American superhero and his oldest pal has been fueling fanfic fantasies for years. But when their decade-spanning bromance...
Can you imagine the hand job he could give you with that robot hand, though?
Ooh. Came to a head in the summer Civil War, the chemistry between stars Chris Evans and Sebastian Stan set legions of Stucky shippers alight. Intentional or not, it transcended official Marvel canon and took on a life of its own in the hearts of fans, even seeping in its way into the film's press tour.
Maul says, so gay people are immoral, Dutch, because you said that they shouldn't be in kids' movies, is what she's asking you.
I'm not taking the bait anymore from you, Maul. I got your game.
You're think it's a game. I think she has a pretty good point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gay game.
I think it's a good
point.
You're
just a dick.
And I think that maybe you should answer the lady. Why do you think Dutch basically said gay people are immoral is what he said.
That's exactly what I said.
And,
you're right.
And I don't understand why he said, because I don't
agree
with
that.
Going to hell. I don't agree with that.
After all, Cap put his
guy who's lived with more gay people than anyone.
Finally, Dutch, you understand my plot. You get it. Now Dutch and I are kindred spirits.
Indeed. After all, Cap put his life, career, and friendships on the line just to protect his brooding BFF from the entire world. Swoon.
Now that's butt-fucking friend, right?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
Has he acted on even a fraction of that kind of balls-out emotion for the women who've crossed his path? Question mark? I read that sentence wrong.
It's not to the women that crossed his path, you fucking idiot. It said he's known this guy since he's the only person that actually remembers living in the fucking 40s with him. So it's the only person that could actually fucking relate to him. That doesn't mean they're going to fuck. You know what I mean? Like, that's why they're such close friends. You know, everybody else is dead that he knew in the 40s.
You've got a friend in me.
It's not. It's not.
You've got a friend in me.
Move on over, Rover come over, fat old husband walking over.
Did he die already? Didn't he die recently?
John?
No. The guy, Randy, what's his face?
Randy Newman?
Yeah.
No,
well,
he's still alive.
Google can tell us.
It'd be great if he did a song for the Civil War movie, though.
That would be pretty good. He seems to still be alive.
Yeah, he's alive. And Will
Sasso, barely kicking.
And Will Sasso is the best impression of him, I think.
He's 72 years young.
Damn it. I'm sick. It feels like he figured out some sort of a way to just weasel his way into every Pixar movie, and I
the
hate it.
The weasel.
We
sent the Jews. Oh, buddy.
Randy Newman was...
How was that ever popular? How was he ever popular?
It's the weasel.
We're talking about that guy now.
Yeah. Sorry. How is he ever popular?
He was like, he was the early version of the, you know, Rob Schneider. Like, he was that guy before Rob Schneider became Rob Schneider.
He's been in 7 Disney Pixar animation films.
There you go.
Toy Story, A Bug's Life, Toy Story 2, Monsters, Inc., Cars, Toy Story 3, and Monsters University, as well as Disney's The Princess and the Frog and James and the Giant Peach.
With Newman.
When George Lucas first called me up to write a couple of songs for a new Star Wars movie, man, I was tickled pink. Especially when he told me how much he liked the songs I did for A Toy Story and A Bug's Life. Man, with all them lasers and phasers and Ewoks, man, I love Star Wars, boy. Star Wars? Oh, Star Wars? They got a devil here, Star Wars. Did I get to see any of the movie? No. But I don't need to see a movie to write a song about it. Out in space, all over the place. Space is the place for Star Wars.
I remember watching this live.
Me too!
I used to watch Star Magic Wars. All the time.
Me too! It's underrated, man. They had a lot of funny shit.
I haven't seen A Bug's Life or a Toy Story. But I don't need to, you know, writing songs is easy. They just fall out of me. Hey, watch. Lunch. Oh, lunch. Let's all eat a bunch of lunch. I'm hungry, cause I'm hungry. Hungry for a big old juicy lunch. See, I don't need to.
That's pretty much, that's
it's
all.
The dude. That's great.
How did he do it?
What, you make it in show business?
No, yeah. No. How did he mimic, what's his face?
Oh, how did
so
Sasso
well?
Figure it out?
Will Sasso. It's so perfect.
All right. Well, guys, I hate to say it, but it's time to end the show.
No. Aww.
I'm very sorry.
No.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Tune in tomorrow for the Cousin Joe show if he's not sick. He was supposed to join us, but he got sicky poo.
Oh, no.
And stay tuned for all the shows. Again, check out It's Eric Nagel. Show's really awesome. If you're into all that geek culture stuff, it's awesome. So I guess we'll leave with a cover of You Got a Friend in Me. How about that? All right. Any other plugs? Nothing?
This weekend, I'm coming up for MegaCon. Get to meet Royce and Marie.
Oh, yep.
God, no, dude, that hot chick that you're going to be hooking up with.
Game of Thrones.
Please film her without your without her permission while you guys are having sex, and then send it to just me.
Might be done with the GoPro.
All right, guys, don't admit
Game
to
of
that.
Thrones review Monday night, 10 p.m.
Check that out. All right, we're out of here, guys.
You got a friend in me. You got troubles. I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, see it through. You got a friend in me. Yes, you got a friend in me. Some of the folks might be a little bit smarter than I am. Bigger, stronger too. Maybe none of them will ever love you the way I do. It's me and you, girl, as the years go.